Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Sean Cantwell and Adam Harahuck back with me today, your local alternative solid state radio.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
Oh, you know, just another fun, cold, dreary Wednesday afternoon in Michigan.
It's going to get better. It's supposed to be the 50s on the weekend, I guess.
I say, is it, though?
That's really what it says, but, you know, it might just
you
be
can't trust anything the weather says in this state.
Mm-mm.
I have learned that lesson.
It's okay. I mean, I saw some of the weather report for New England states. They're I think Buffalo is expecting like 2 feet of snow.
Look, let's just put it out there. God hates Buffalo. Okay,
he really does.
Like there's like that state just that city just gets dropped like copious amounts of snow and just garbage weather, etc.
Jesus loves me, this I know, everybody but Buffalo.
It's funny because it's true. Yeah, like this is why I'm glad I live where we live and not there, because I couldn't do it. I was already not pro on, you know. So I think I've told this on the air before. There was a point in time where my now wife wanted to go to school at Michigan Tech, and that if you know where Michigan Tech is, obviously up in Houghton,
yeah,
not Houghton Lake, kids, Houghton. Like a 9-hour trip north. I don't think they see the actual grass in that place, but maybe 2 months out of the year, something like that. Like it's just always snowing. Like it'll snow into May.
The only 4th of July fireworks have been called off because of snow.
I guarantee you, it's happened. And I quite frankly don't know how this ever would have worked. Like, had that happened, this could have really changed the trajectory of my life, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Because there's no way I'm driving up there in the middle of winter. Because, for one, I've never had a vehicle that's been particularly great at handling winter anyway. And two, roads are going to be impassable getting through. Like, I have to ride a snowmobile across the entire Upper Peninsula to get there. Like, there's no way. And, like, I know, like, she would ultimately love to retire to the Upper Peninsula, like, have a place up there somewhere. I'm like, well, let me tell you right now, you're going to be living there by yourself 6 months out of the year. Just throwing that out there. I'm retiring and moving to a place where there's more effing snow than the place I currently live.
Yeah.
Under no
That's
circumstances.
That's not how retirement works.
No.
You're supposed to go
get away
less
from the snow.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, I don't know how much away from the snow I could get because, like, I can't see us living in, like, you know, Texas or Florida or something like that.
Yeah, I mean,
like, the humidity has its, at least for me, like, this is about the sweet spot, maybe a little bit further south.
Maybe Tennessee, Kentucky.
Maybe.
A lot of bourbon down in Kentucky.
That's true. My liver would be gone the first year and none of this would matter.
That's right.
So, I just can't see myself wanting to introduce further snow into a, like, Buffalo? No. I don't know why people live in that city. I really don't.
I don't know. You never hear, I mean, jobs must be really good if people are moving to Buffalo, because, yeah, I just see them just, anytime I ever hear about Buffalo, it's they're being decimated by snow.
Yeah.
I mean, their sports teams have to relocate every once in a while because they can't.
Well, they're one. Oh, no, wait, they have the Sabres, too. I keep forgetting they exist.
Yeah, but the Bills, a lot of times,
have to play games at Ford Field because somehow the weather is less bad here.
Yeah. Well, we also have a dome, and they don't in Buffalo. I mean, put Buffalo on the apology list, but...
Oh, I put Buffalo on the apology list about 5 minutes ago, dude.
The collective brain trust in Buffalo, hey, we got a football stadium. Should we put a dome on it with all this? No, it's old-fashioned football.
Old-time football, the way it was meant to be played.
Well, we get an old-fashioned
snow
shovel.
No wussies here.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you have to, like, pay, like, 100 people to dig out your stadium when the snow hits. Like, yeah, that sounds like a much better idea.
It's fan appreciation night. Bring your own shovel.
You know, that seems like it'd be pretty on brand for them.
Bring your own shovel. That's the night the referees are really on their game because the last thing they want is just a bunch of shovels coming at them.
And that's probably
or
exactly...
Or snowballs.
Right? And you know that's exactly how that ends up working out, too.
Yeah, fans in Philly, like, you're missing a great opportunity here.
I mean, really, yeah. Like, bring your own shovel night at Eagles game. Like, there will be multiple people dead. There's no other way around that.
Let's go to our sideline reporter, Tony. Oh, Tony's been bludgeoned in the head with a shovel. Oh, our hearts go out to Tony's family. The Eagles haven't looked good in the first quarter. Clang! Don't besmirch the Eagles.
Don't ever say nothing bad about the Eagles. Yeah, there's no good that comes out of any of that, really. So, as we, I don't even know where we were going with any of this. Welcome.
We talk about the weather.
Right. Welcome to ADD Theater, kids. Oh, much to do today. Do stick around. It is happy hour at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. Tool at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. What's going on? It's happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. And we weren't even going to do this bit today, but, you know, I'll even bust out the celebratory music because technically, and we're not going to spend a bunch of time on it because, well, the game was like 2 days ago.
Yeah.
But we've got at least say a few nice things about your local hockey team. So as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey! Hockey
Town! A good win on Tuesday. Was it Monday?
Monday, yeah.
4-2 against the Tampa Bay Lightning, who they're still a good team. So good to see them finish that stretch off with a win.
Just when we can always beat, apparently. I think we swept the season series.
Did we?
Yeah.
No, I think... Why you gotta lie like that?
I'm pretty sure I'm not making this up. I'll double check. You talk to the people.
Yeah. So now they're coming off of a win. They have a good couple days of rest to shake off any kind of bad juju. Because I kept hearing reports that COVID was
running through the locker room.
Yeah, but I don't know. They were saying that Patrick Kane had COVID, but he bounced back fairly quickly if he did.
Not bad for an old guy.
That over the shoulder back shot without even looking. Heads back of the net past Vasilevsky and David Perron having a great game. But now there comes some competition because Friday night they're taking on the New York Rangers.
The Rangers. The current best team in the Eastern Conference.
Yes.
Also, I was right, by the way. They did sweep the season series with the Lightning.
No kidding.
Yes.
Not too shabby.
Took all three games.
So, as we look at the playoffs. Detroit is still in the conversation.
Somehow.
I mean, there's no room for slip-ups anymore. I mean,
there hasn't been room for slip-ups.
You guys want playoff hockey? Well, guess what? You're watching playoff hockey right now because, as it is, they're number three in the wild card race. Washington and Detroit are tied at 82, but Washington has one game in hand. So, and Detroit's got two more losses than the Caps. So that's what's going on there. Detroit, if they catch fire like they have been able to do, we could see them making that second wild card spot and making it into the playoffs. How far they go, that's going to be up to them, quite honestly. But looking at what you've got coming up, you got the Blue Shirts on Friday, Buffalo on Sunday, Washington Capitals, I just said they're tied. Tuesday, April 9th, could be a very huge game.
That's the game that really decides the season. If we lose the Rangers, I mean, it's going to suck, but it's also expected because they are the best team in the Eastern Conference.
Yep.
Now, Tuesday's game against the Caps, absolutely pivotal. Like, yep. If you don't lose that game, season's over.
If you don't win.
If you don't win that game, sorry.
Yeah.
I can't talk today, folks, which is really great when you're doing radio. if you lose that game, season's over.
Yeah,
that's it.
You're done.
Like, you're done. Because you should beat Buffalo. So yeah. You should, by the time you get to the matchup against Washington, you're very much still in it, but I believe Washington currently has at least one game in hand, maybe two.
No, one game in hand over Detroit right now.
Like, you have no room for error there, and you can beat Montreal. I think you can honestly beat
two games against Montreal. So
I think you can win them both.
Now, looking at Washington's schedule, tomorrow they're playing the Pens. a bunch of jerks on Friday. A lot of games for them. Wow. Sunday on the 7th, they're playing Ottawa, Detroit on the 9th, Buffalo, Tampa, Boston, and Philly to round out their season. So they have a pretty tough schedule.
About as tough as this one for the Wings.
Yeah.
Except that they get an Ottawa thrown in there. Well, I guess we get Montreal twice, so
I'd rather tackle Montreal the last two games as opposed to the Alexander Ovechkin and company, because they have to take on the Boston Bruins and the Philadelphia Flyers, who are not the Philadelphia Flyers of old, who are hot garbage.
Well, we got to play the Maple Leafs and the Rangers, dude.
Yeah, yeah, we've got that.
And, you know, there are a lot of, you know, I guess you're right about the Ottawa thing, because Ottawa seems to have our number lately. So, I mean, I'd rather take this over that, but it still doesn't exactly make me happy nonetheless.
No.
So, we have a rumor that I kind of want to discuss coming up in regards to this team.
Okay.
And I kind of want to get your thoughts on it as the resident member of the Hockey Elite.
I love giving my thoughts on things.
I know you do. It's kind of like what we get paid to do or something.
Sure.
Here's the Strokes. Your local alternative is Solid State Radio. Cold War Kids at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. It is happy hour. He's Adam Hirahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell, and I have a rumor for you related to your Detroit Red Wings that I think you're going to be rather interested in.
Okay, shoot.
An NHL source is telling Detroit Hockey Now, which the website that is primarily run by Bob Duff, longtime Wings beat writer for the Windsor Star, that the possibility of a coaching change is something that is being pondered by Red Wings GM Steve Yzerman. And there's a lot of things to unpack here. It was already talked about on that last Friday. Yzerman read the riot act to his coaching staff and players regarding their lackluster performance of late. Apparently, Derek Lalonde doesn't go and kick trash cans, so Stevie had to go do it for him.
Yep. I mean, that's kind of... Lalonde has shown that he's a little bit more hands-on than Jeff Blashill was, but yeah, he's definitely not a... You need to be afraid of the coach just a little bit.
The John Tortorella story.
Scotty Bowman. Scotty Bowman was quite the SOB to his players, to their face, to the press. The only time they really liked Scotty is when they won a Stanley Cup. Then they'd hug him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he wasn't an a-hole in the way that, say, a Mike Babcock or even a Mike Keenan were.
No,
but
no. That's
like, guys still wanted to go and play for Scotty because they knew they were going to win something. That's, you know, wasn't necessarily the case with, you know, those other cats.
Yeah. Right.
So, all that being said,
sure,
Yzerman might be considering a change in his coach in the offseason where the Red Wings to continue their free fall out of a Stanley Cup playoff position. And if that is indeed the route he decides to take, the man at the top of the list of desirable candidates, I've brought him up before because you asked me at one point, you'll remember, about firing, I wanted to fire Lalonde out of a cannon like 8 games into the free fall. And you were like, well, who would you replace him with? Well, apparently Stevie and I have this mind link going on down at the Little Caesars Arena because Craig Berube, the former St. Louis Blues coach, is at the top of his list.
Craig Berube would be interesting because he has had some success. He's got a Stanley Cup with the St. Louis Blues.
Isn't that the year he took over like midway through the season because the team was absolutely in free fall?
They were in last place. I believe just before New Year's.
Yes.
And end up fighting back and winning the Stanley Cup. I mean, that's pretty impressive. As far as that, I don't know what other coaching qualifications
he has. That's what it was. So the team was doing terribly to start the year. They fired the coach. Then Berube took over. It got a little bit worse. And then, he got him all the way to a Stanley Cup. And his record with St. Louis, other than that, they finished first first in their conference the next season. They made the playoffs his first 4 years there. Now, there's kind of a drop-off the last 2 years.
Yes.
But
they also traded away everybody.
Exactly. Like, they kind of figured out that it was, well, they trade half of them to us.
Right. Yeah.
So I think they kind of knew that, like, that we got our cup. We're going to go ahead and just start rebuilding now. And, you know, they kind of knew what was up. Like, apparently, Yzerman's really tight with Doug Armstrong, who is the current GM of St. Louis, and he was the guy that basically built that cup team.
Yeah.
And if he thinks it's a good idea, they might try and do it. And also, there's a lot of familiarity on this team with them because we're basically the St. Detroit Blues.
Yeah, there would be that. I don't know. I mean,
well, we want Gallant, I know.
Gerard Gallant. I think that's... I think he'd be about perfect for this current Red Wings roster because it's a mix of veterans and some young players who need that hand on their shoulder coaching them. And that's what Gerard Gallant does. He took Florida, which, I mean, okay, Florida now is a good team, but back then they were in the dregs. Gallant built them up. Then he becomes the first coach for the Vegas Golden Knights, takes them to the Stanley Cup Finals their first year with a bunch of cast-offs. That's the guy I want behind the bench. I mean, Newsy, Lalonde, listen, you know, it's been real, but I mean,
you ain't getting it done.
Just, yeah, it's just, I don't know what's going on because they went on a tear for the longest time, but he's not a coach who knows what to do when the chips are down.
Yeah.
If you're winning, oh yeah, he looks great. He looks great, but he, as soon as there's any kind of adversity, he doesn't know what to do. And you got to have a Tortorella. You got to have a Bowman. You got to have a coach who is going to call out their players, kick the proverbial trash can or the real trash can, kick them. Probably all made of Rubbermaid now, so it probably doesn't make much of a noise. But
yeah, it's just not the same, really. But
no. So I mean, Berube, it's interesting. I don't hate the idea. I don't hate the idea, but I mean, Gerard Gallant. I mean, come on, he was on a line with Steve Yzerman in his playing days. He's seen what Gallant could do. I mean, yeah, he had a rough time in New York, but New York is a hostile area. So I don't know. But I don't even. Where is Gallant doing?
I don't think he's anywhere right now. Like he's still a free agent, which is amazing to me, considering. I mean, the success that he's had.
The Rangers.
What does the guy got to do?
The Rangers broke him. I don't want to go hockey anymore. Capo Caco can. All these draft picks and they can't play hockey.
He's just really had a bad go of it, man. Like. For a guy who's made the playoffs the last 8 teams he's had,
yep.
Like he has never like there's not a point in time in which he hasn't at least, you know, gotten that far with these teams. Like I don't know what in the hell it is that he can't apparently or there isn't a team. I'm sorry, there are a few years they didn't make the playoffs apparently. Or maybe I'm reading this thing wrong, but like he's made the playoffs with Florida, obviously with Vegas, and with the Rangers, and just gets no respect.
He is the Rodney Dangerfield of the NHL. Now, check this storyline out. Here's something that just popped into my head. Let's say Lou Lamoriello fires Patrick Waugh out of the Islanders, and he comes back. He comes to coach your Detroit Red Wings.
It would never happen. I mean, he may kick trash cans, but also he'd be yelling in French and no one would know what the hell he was talking about. To be fair.
Hey, Patty, je ne parle pas français.
So, I mean, I don't really necessarily, I don't see that would happen. Like, if he wasn't good enough to hack it with the Isles, like, he's never had a particularly good run as a coach in
no,
the NHL.
No, he hasn't.
It'd be hilarious, but it wouldn't happen.
No, I'd rather have Gallant bring back Scotty Bowman. I know he's like 105, but, you know.
You know, Scotty at like 95 or whatever he actually is would probably still be a better coach than a lot of younger guys in this league right now.
I don't know if there's a lot of changes to the game. I don't know if he'd be able to keep up, but, I mean, it'd be good to see him behind the bench again. But maybe Todd McClellan.
He's still out there, yeah.
He didn't do well in L.A. Here's another story where... Yeah, they fire the coach and bring in somebody and progress. Edmonton was the same thing this year. But, I mean, basically, it's too bad because usually the Red Wings, as an organization, will give the coach, you know, 4 or 5 seasons. But Yzerman,
sometimes longer than they should, Jeff Blashill.
Yeah, exactly. Or Dave Lewis. And
Dave Lewis didn't last that long. He was only there a couple of years.
He was there from
an 2003
season to
2003-04 season. He was only head coach for 2 years.
Really?
He like interim coach like 5 games or whatever when I think Bowman was out like in like the 98-99 season, but he was only the coach in Detroit for 2 years before they hired Babcock.
Okay. I didn't realize Babcock was the head coach for that. as long as he was.
Oh yeah,
for the Wings.
Oh yes, he was a good, probably close to a decade, if I remember right.
Okay, what I'm thinking of is I think Lewis was the coach right before the lockout. And then they, you know, just didn't re-sign him after the lockout, and they brought in Babcock.
Which, I mean,
right. Do I got my times?
No, that is the right time frame, sir. Like, yeah. He was coached before the lockout. Lockout happens. They don't bring him back. Babcock's here for 10 years.
Yeah,
and he only ever got one more shot as a head coach, and that was with Boston, and it didn't go well.
Lewis did?
Yeah,
I don't remember that.
Nobody does. I think Boston fans try to forget it happened. But no, like, they've definitely been known to hold on to a coach too long. Jeff Blashill, looking at you.
Yeah, it's.
And honestly, probably made the wrong hire before that, but it did get us a cup, so.
Yeah.
Should have been two.
It should have been two. Yeah, I think Iserman's just going to.
Let this thing ride out. And
for the end of the end of the season, there's only like eight or nine games left.
There better be more than that.
Well, I'm hoping in the regular season. I know, but if
there aren't, he's gone.
I even think if they make it to the first round and get smoked, I think Newsy's gone. I mean,
do you think Stevie would do that though? Like, if they make the playoffs and even like win a game in that series, I don't see them firing him just because. Well, it's progress. It was ugly getting there, but it's progress. I don't necessarily think they'd fire him at that point.
If he doesn't think that he's going to be able to have extended amounts of success with him, he's going to pull the trigger, because he has said he's not looking for a flash in the pan kind of thing. He wants multiple cups. He wants to build a dynasty.
Oh, absolutely.
Just like what he did with Tampa Bay. So. I don't think Derek Lalonde is that guy. But hey, prove me wrong, man. Prove me wrong, Gru.
One can only hope. Here's Corner Shop, your local alternative is Solid State Radio. Modest Mouse, your local alternative Solid State Radio. It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahug. Thank you for wearing the name tag. It helps. Yeah. Sean Cantwell, and I kind of want to talk a little bit of Lions here real quick.
Sure.
So the Houston Texans made some moves, and this will all tie together here in a moment. So the Buffalo Bills traded four-time Pro Bowl wide receiver Stephon Diggs to the Houston Texans for draft pick compensation Wednesday. They receive a second-round pick next year, a sixth-round pick this year, and a fifth-round pick next year. The Texans acquired that pick from the Vikings when they traded their 2024 first-round pick to Minnesota last month. The trade comes a day after Diggs responded, "You sure?" to a social media user's declaration that he wasn't essential to Bills quarterback Josh Allen's success. So just in the last month, they've now acquired Stephon Diggs, who arguably one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, at least during the regular season. They traded for Joe Mixon from the Cincinnati Bengals and then signed him to a big extension. They also signed the other pass rusher I wanted, Danielle Hunter, to a two-year, $49 million contract.
Yep.
They're just signing and acquiring everybody. Meanwhile, the Lions are just kind of sitting here off in the corner, not really making big splash moves of any sort. And I kind of want to know where the Lions fan base, like, how are you feeling right now? I kind of want to get a vibe check, if you will.
Nervous, because, I mean, they had a great season last year, but it seems like they're like, okay, well, that was fun. That was good. We had a good time.
I'm worried that a lot of the fan base sees it that way.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way I'm seeing it. I mean, you got they didn't do much in free agency. You don't see a whole lot of things coming this way. They're bolstering the team, and I'm just worried that we're gonna see a digression with this team.
I will say I am a little less concerned about the state of things, if only because we know what Brad Holmes is capable of doing in the draft, and that most of his free agent signings, you know, tend to work fairly well for the most part. The draft is really seemingly where he lives and just does his best work. I think that, I would have liked to see at least one real major splash move just to let everyone know that the Lions mean business. but I'm not willing to write the thing off entirely because I didn't get that, I guess.
Right. I mean, let's see. Let's see what happens. I mean, they've got to have a plan, right?
Oh, going into the draft, I have no doubt that he's got a plan. Like, obviously, the big thing that needs to be addressed is you now need another cornerback since, you know, Cam Sutton is kind of, you know, fugitive or whatever now. It's kind of a situation where you have to, where you're kind of lucky in that, for the most part, you can just go in there and draft best player available. Like, there's definitely a few things you'd like to see addressed, but it's not like there's as many glaring needs other than another edge rusher that really absolutely need to be addressed and that you need guys who are ready to go now. Like, you can take a little bit more of a, shall we say, wait-and-see approach with whoever you may draft. Like, you don't need everyone to be an impact player right now.
Right.
You can draft for depth a little bit more than you usually would. But there's a few issues I would like to see addressed in some capacity. Like I said, I still want that edge rusher. I'd like, you know, a good, solid, you know, slam dunk number one corner. That would be great. I mean, I'm okay with what we got, but, like, yep. I would like to see better. I'm just waiting till they sign Marshawn Lattimore, you know, towards the, you know, closer to the draft or something, which, I mean, I wouldn't be entirely, you know, dissatisfied with.
Right.
But it does make it hard when you watch another team like Houston, who came out of nowhere last year. Like, they weren't expected to contend. They haven't been a relevant team in forever. You've got a rookie quarterback, a rookie coach, and it didn't seem like all the pieces were there yet. And then somehow they managed to make their way into the playoffs despite all that and blow past some teams that actually had a real shot of making it in at least a wild card position, if not necessarily winning the AFC South. I mean, this was not how that division was supposed to go. Like, Jacksonville was just supposed to run away with it, and that was going to be the end of it. Indianapolis wasn't expected to much contend, but Tennessee was expected to be a lot better than they were.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, Houston, the team that no one saw coming, makes it into the playoffs, gets a playoff win against Cleveland, and then gets steamrolled by the Ravens. But you can't be mad about that, given that
the Ravens had a great year.
You were playing with house money at that point.
Yep.
And I think down there, maybe there's more of a sense of urgency because, well, we just accelerated the timeline on a complete and utter fluke. Now we have to maintain this. Whereas here, I feel like it's more of a, well, we're going to do this thing at our pace. And, like, this isn't going to be the last year. But I would like to see a little bit more urgency here, I guess. Like, give me at least one good signing that tells me that you are serious about being back in the NFC title game this year.
Yep.
That's all I'm asking for. I don't need, like, three major just splashes. Like, I don't need to blow the entire budget necessarily. I just would like one move, one major signing at a position of need that just says we're here and we are very much, like, we're planning on being back in the playoffs. That's all I want. Am I asking too much? I don't think I am.
No, I think everybody's right along with you. Have you seen what has been going on with, did you talk about this yesterday, CJ Gardner-Johnson?
What happened with him? Yeah, no.
He took aim at Detroit Lions fans, former teammates on social media.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The Freep was reporting that the former Detroit safety, known for his trash talking, had some words for Lions fans in a series of now deleted posts on social media.
Oh, this should be fascinating.
Let me see. He was a fan favorite early in his time, even encouraging fans to show up in Ford Field wearing blue ski masks.
Which was the stupidest thing. But
yeah,
he
tweeted, "Lions fans quick to turn, but I'm a hush up," with a laughing and yawning emoji. Followed that post by saying, "City legend, though, definitely can ask any East or West Side resident, so quick playing on my name, fans." I'm not 100% sure what that meant.
I'm not either.
Both posts were deleted shortly after he posted them, but Gardner-Johnson shared the second tweet to Instagram and expanded on the message. On his Instagram, he says, "Tired of these Detroit fans. Let's set the record straight. Only me, Jameson Williams' Instagram had the streets of Detroit behind us. All the other guys on the team were scared to go outside to kick it with the city.
Oh, so he's calling out his teammates, too.
Yeah. Yeah, he's spilling the tea. So, yeah, he's frustrated. Did they not re-sign him, or do they... Because he's now with... where did he go?
He went back to Philly.
Right, okay.
The funny thing is he had a lot to say about them, too, when he left there. Like, this is just a thing he does, apparently. But I guess he's made peace with the Philly fans, too.
He kind of has to. He's going back there.
So I just think that's just how he is. I don't know how much to really read into that. Like, there was a whole thing, too, with Josh Reynolds, where there was a report that apparently he had people at his camp telling him to leave because, again, quote-unquote toxic fan base and so on and so forth. Like, are we really putting us in the toxic fan base category when Philly, Boston, and New York fans exist? Really? Are we going there? This team hasn't had anything to cheer about for about six decades now.
Yeah. I think we have every... If we are accomplishing some sort of level of caustic team fan base, I think we've earned it.
I think so. Like, I think if any team has earned the right to be that way... Any fan base has earned the right to be that way. It's absolutely this one. At least I think. I mean, maybe you disagree on this, but like,
no,
I feel like this is it's something that has been really sealed by many years of our teams being garbage and not showing up and playing, and by us being like the retirement home for guys who just want to collect a paycheck.
Yes, Reggie Bush. But yeah,
hey, he was our last 1,000-yard rusher. Thank you very much. Yeah, not to smirch that man's name. How dare you?
But Gardner Johnson, he does seem to be like the guy who just wants to burn the bridge as he's crossing it,
right? And you're lucky, truth be told, that that worked out for you with Philly of all teams, because you give them now, like, they're gonna burn your house to the ground. Like,
hit
the fact
you with
that
batteries.
They will. They'll pelt you with snow shovels at your next game.
That's right.
So it's kind of funny to me that, like, he's going and he went and talked all that trash about that team or fan base or whatever, but now everything's all hunky dory.
Yep.
That's so weird to me. But apparently Philly will only accept you if you go in there ready to burn the whole house down. That's been proven by athletes and stand-up comedians even from, you know, time and time again.
They are a very aggressive group of people.
All you can do is match their level of aggression. That's the only way you can defeat them or at least win them over. That's all there is. It's Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. Looser and Blue, your only alternative Solid State Radio. What's happening? It is Happy Hour. Adam, are you feeling particularly judgy today?
As a matter of fact, I am.
I figured you would be. Well, let's go get some judgment on, shall we? Let's do another fun installment of Am I the A-Hole? Because I don't think the show that normally does this bit is even on anymore.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. Let's just get right into it. Am I the A-Hole for breaking up with my girlfriend because she's friends with a guy who cheated with her?
She was cheated on by this guy and they're still friends?
No, she slept with a guy... The guy cheated with her. Guy cheated on his woman with her before she started dating this guy.
I'm going to need a chalkboard or something like that. So
it sounds like a dry erase board and hand puppets kind of thing,
yeah,
don't
so
it?
So he is dating a woman, wants to break up with her because why?
Okay, so my girlfriend has this male friend. Let's call him Mike. Mike is recently divorced. The other night I was hanging out with some of my girlfriend's friends, but she wasn't there. One of her friends brought up Mike and how the divorce has been hard on him. Another friend said it was his own damn fault for sleeping with my girlfriend. I was like, whoa, what? I asked for more details. Turns out Mike slept with my girlfriend while he was married. His wife found out, and then they divorced. This happened for about a year and a half, or this happened about a year and a half ago. I've been with my girlfriend for about a year. So it happened 6 months before he started dating her.
Okay.
I talked to my girlfriend next time I saw her. I took a couple days to digest the information. I did text her that I need some time for myself, and I'll talk to her when I'm ready. See, she's still close friends on Mike because they hang out regularly, both in the group and one-on-one. I wasn't crazy about it, but I figured I should trust my girlfriend until now. I realized I was too uncomfortable with their friendship now, as well as the fact that she never mentioned this to me. She asked why, and I told her the truth. I told her I don't like that she's friends with Mike with this new information, that I wasn't going to tell her who she could be friends with, but I'm not going to be a part of this. Next time we meet up, I decided to break up with her. I guess I missed that part in here somewhere.
Yeah.
My girlfriend yelled at me and said if I asked, she'd stop hanging out with Mike. I still decided to break up, but to be honest, I don't think my girlfriend would take me back even if I changed my mind in that moment. I guess my question is twofold. Am I the a-hole for my reason to break up with her? And am I the a-hole for not asking her to cut Mike off or giving her a chance to? It's a bit late now, but I'd still like to know.
No, in neither way are you the a-hole. I mean, first things first, you're with somebody who she had no problem hooking up with a guy that she knew was married and was the reason why he's now divorced. So obviously her scruples are all over the place or not where they're supposed to be.
Or non-existent.
Non-existent. That's probably a little bit more of a truer statement. So, you know, she doesn't hold relationships in a high regard. You know,
if she cheated with somebody, she'll cheat on somebody.
Absolutely. And for, you know, her to, and you're not going to sit here, he's taking the high road, and he's not going to say and dictate who she can and cannot be friends with, but he's decided he's not comfortable with it, and he's ducking out. I think he's handling this very maturely. She's saying, oh, I don't have to see him, but you say the word, I'm going to get rid of it. She's not going to do that.
No, that's
she's
not.
She's just going to tell you she stopped talking to him.
She's going
to
hang out with him behind your back.
3 months down the road, the text messages will happen. They'll start hanging out again. And you have to wonder what's going on when you're not in there. And that's not a healthy relationship for her or you.
Yeah, you don't ever want to be in the situation where you're like, can I trust this person to hang out with other people? Especially now that I know that they've shacked up, like, it does make it a little bit different. And, I mean, normally I'm even not going to be necessarily object to, like, the whole you can't be friends with your ex thing.
Right.
You can't be friends with someone that you've shooked in the past.
Right.
But the fact that she slept with a married man really makes me think that there's just, like, she has no respect for those kind of For the sanctity of marriage, such as it is, not to go sound all holy roller on you people.
But, I mean, if you want to look at it from a religious standpoint, go ahead. But there's also just the...
like, now you can't trust that person. Like, if you were to get married, would she be fine with seeing him on the side?
Probably. I don't think this Mike guy is going anywhere.
No, he's not.
I think he...
Other than maybe up a short flight of stairs to her bedroom.
Yeah, when he's off... doing something else, when the writer's off doing something else. No, he's making the right decision. Cut her loose. And, you know, who knows, maybe she and Mike were supposed to be together this whole time, so maybe she'll be happier with all of this.
Maybe you're doing him a favor.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
Yep.
You're welcome. Happy hour at Solid State Radio. Get set to get the hell out of Dodge here on a Wednesday afternoon. Stick around. A full hour of local original music comes your way next on a little show we like to call Sessions, all being well. Talk to you tomorrow afternoon at 3. See ya.